My name is Owen Flynn and welcome to episode 113 of the Trail Running Ireland podcast. We've a Wicklow Way relay special this week as we chat to the new Triple Crown holders from East Cork AC after their 3-in-a-row win last Saturday as they kept the chasing pack of 34 teams at bay. And we also talked to our coaching expert Rene Borg, who was on the ground on the race organiser's side enjoying a fantastic day of racing in glorious Wicklow sunshine. Can't wait to hear all about it. Everybody, get your running gear on. Let's go. I'm just running from my life. It's a lie. I cannot buy. Something tells me it's a lie. Welcome everyone to the show, and Imra were keeping us busy last weekend with the aforementioned Wicklow Way relay taking place, but alongside that we had the Bearer Way Ultra 100 miler going on in Cork. A big congrats to Deirdre O'Gorman, who took the win in the 100 miler in 26 hours 30 minutes ahead of Karina Jonia in second, and friend of the show from New Leaf Health Store Mairead O'Keefe rounding off the podium, with Fanny Garden also completing their 100 miles, coming home in fourth position. In the men's race, we had 21 finishers from the 40 names on the start sheet, with Lonan O'Farrell taking the win in 21 hours 46 minutes, Sam Hand second in 22 hours 02, and Ross Donovan, who we had on the show last week after setting a new course record in the 130k at the Waterfall Trail Running Festival, recovering very quickly for the podium finish at Beara with third in 22 hours and 29 minutes. In the Bearer Way Light, just the 70 kilometres in that one, Sarah Clark took the win in 8 hours 47 minutes, and Brendan Joy took the win in the men's race in 8 hours 29. Finally, in the Bearer Way Challenge, over 23.5 kilometres, Fiona Doody was first home in 2 hours 36, and Eric O'Connor won the men's in 2 hours 30. Well done to all the Munster Imra crew, who put on a great set of races there. And as Stephen Ayreswell said on the event forum page, it has grown into a real festival of ultra and mountain running in the most stunning setting. Can't wait to be back next year. Before we get into the results of the Wicklow Way relay with Rene, many thanks as always to our group of patrons, I say at every show, who support the show each episode with the price of a gel per month. And guys, if you do listen in, if you do like what we do, if you would like to help to keep the podcast on the airwaves over the course of the year, please do head over to Patreon, Trail Running Ireland Podcast, when if you have a moment, and for the small donation of the price of a gel per month, it will really help keep us going. Okay, let's begin our chat on an epic day of racing in Wicklow last Saturday. Rene Borg, fresh from observing and being, I'm sure, deeply involved in the Grand National of the Imra calendar. Rene, what a great day it was on Saturday at the Wicklow Way Relay 2025. I'm sure you had the time of your life.
I really did, Owen, and I think we had a different topic in mind actually today, but I thought the relay was such a great day. You know, we've called it the beautiful chaos of team relays.
Yeah.
And it really is, you know, and it was such an uplifting day with so many interesting little observations and stories that I thought, look, let's talk about it this week, because it is a big day on the trail running calendar. There was more than 280, you know, Irish trail runners involved. And I know it wasn't the only thing, you know, there was the Bearer Way relay going on, or not relay, sorry, the Bearer Way Ultra Series going on down the other side of the country. So it was a brilliant weekend and brilliant weather here. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know normally we might wait a couple of days, Rene, to talk about it and, you know, go through the results in depth, because the results do have to be checked and verified. You know, a bit like the Eurovision, you need to go through the jurors and the public vote and the private vote just to make sure that all the tracks were followed, in case there's any queries on any of the results, in case there's any objections about any of the results as well. But we said that we would just talk about it now at Monday lunchtime while it's still fresh. And I think the key results, they're all fairly definitive. I think we have our winners, we have our podium results. So let's maybe talk about that for the moment. Enjoy what we saw on Saturday. And maybe just kick things off, Rennie, about before we get into the results and the podium and the winners, there was a couple of changes for 2025 and a couple of updates that the runners needed just to go through before kicking off on Saturday. And of course, very, very important that before Saturday, the runners went through, the team captains went through all the rules, all the regulations, because we do need to be very, very strict on how the race is run to help ensure the future progress of the race, to help keep all the local landowners happy, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of preparation involved before anybody even runs, a meter or a kilometer on Saturday morning.
Yeah, that's where Imra have put in a lot of effort, and especially, Jason Keogh and Bill Halladin in the last 3 to 4 years, where trying to sort out the issues and or the handover points, because some of them, the relay is so old, were placed on access roads that really are not ideal locations for a race start, and where it's not really set up for 35, 40 cars all coming in a short span of time. So every year they've improved it, and they've managed to find fields and scout centers and stuff like that. They've created a good system where there's extra marshals moving cars along, ensuring they don't block access for local landowners. All these things that can cause races a lot of issues. And for new listeners who are not so au fait on the whole history, one changeover point back in the day was permanently moved because the landowner who used to have access to the original point was blocked one day, and so he simply wouldn't have the race there anymore. So that's the sort of lessons, that drive it. And this year we had a different challenge to deal with, which is a regular one as well, but it's always in a new form, which is that Quilter, which is the local forestry service, they regularly obviously do felling and other works or trail upgrades. National Parks and Wildlife Service will do that as well, and that can lead to areas of the Wicklow Way being rerouted. Most of the time it's quite minor and it doesn't affect time so much. It can confuse runners because the temporary marking is not always correct, or people, or it's not always as clear as the normal marking, or people have, they download the old GPX on their watch and then they get confused when it doesn't match, little things like that. But this year there was a major change because it actually lengthened like 6 by 3.5 kilometers. And that means, of course, the whole relay was lengthened by 3.5 kilometers from about 104 to 107. And that means it was impossible to get any records on leg six. And it was also impossible to get any records on the relay overall. So if you walk in and you look at the results now after, they do look less flattering than normal. But there were still some very good finishing times across the board.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at the winners, East Cork, I think they won in 7 hours, 33 minutes, 35. And as you said, at first glance, if you compare that to last year where they won at 7 hours, 14, you would say, oh, was it the heat last Saturday that maybe slowed them down? Maybe they were missing one or two of their previous superstars. But no, there's an extra couple of kilometers there. The race itself, and it's full of strategy, getting your tactics right, getting your team composition right. You've been involved in the coaching and race selection side of things, team selection side of things for a number of years with your own local running club there in Glendalough. And over the last 2 years, we've had good teams with Running Coach Ireland as well. Talk us through maybe the top three things that can go wrong, and even the top three most important things for a team when they're preparing for such an epic day like last Saturday.
Well, one we saw a few times, I saw it with my own eyes, and it benefited us on one occasion. The Glendalough is misjudging leg profiles, but this is actually something I've done myself. So you think a leg is a little bit easier than it is, and you go, or actually more often what happens is you feel a bit of pressure to catch up or to keep your team ahead, and you hit the early climb too hard. And most of the legs, or most of, yeah, most of the legs in this relay are multi-climb type of routes, you know, so there's, it means there's more than one. So once you get to the top, you know, and you get off the first descent, you still have to keep running hard. It's especially noticeable on legs like seven. And I saw a few examples of that, and I'd actually done it myself, where you run the first 4 kilometers to the top just way too hard, trying to close the gap. And then you're kind of cruising in the middle. And by the time you hit the next really tough climb at 15K, and you catch up the teams ahead, and you're all excited because, you know, you close the gap, then you blow up and they just run right away from you again. So that's something we actually saw a little bit. And it can be very, very costly. Like, there was a few examples where there were swings of 8 minutes, you know, between runners who were actually quite evenly matched, you know, just because of this sort of... It's this sort of your early or midway two-thirds in blow up. And I know one of the leaders, I won't mention his name, but one of the top athletes who ran that felt the same. You know, he just kind of misjudged it a little bit. Another thing is, you know, you need to get the coordination right from a team perspective. You know, we have had many examples over the years of the runner arrives a little bit early. Maybe they've run well, the team has run well, and there's no one there waiting for them. You know, so that's the worst thing that can happen. So you put in all that effort and they're not there, or the alarm didn't go off in the morning. That's even worse, because then the whole team is still.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And even simple things, really, like making sure that people can get back to their car okay, or who looks after the car keys, you know, as you move through the 8 legs and 107 kilometers. There's an awful lot of preparation and an awful lot of people just, you know, volunteering to ferry people around. And of course, we can't forget that every team needs a volunteer to provide a volunteer for the car park steward duties as well. So it's not just the 8 runners and the team captain. You need your volunteer there as well, or else there won't be any prizes.
Yeah, and I think probably the race organization had a slightly softer touch than they've had some years, because there was a great atmosphere on the day, you know, and people were really positive. And there was kind of a bit of an attitude of, you know, unless a lot of people make big appeals about very small things, just leave it be. Because we've had a few years where the rules had to be really straightened up, and then it led to 8 or 10 teams being disqualified. And then you kind of had a very sour, negative atmosphere at the end, you know, and it's not the right way. In many ways, it doesn't feel quite as satisfying to be moved up that way, unless it is. There was 2 teams will be, as from what I know, be disqualified this year, because they actually took the original like 6 route, which is 3.5 kilometers shorter, you know, and that's not that you just have to act on, because that's 20 minutes nearly, you know, and so that affair, that's hard to ignore. But there were, for instance, some volunteers that didn't show up that should have showed up. And as far as I know, I don't think they'll actually be sanctioned. They'll probably be given a stern warning.
Okay.
Because it is in the rules, you know. And and it kind of goes into logistics, which is, you know, underestimating the logistics of this race, especially when we have such a glorious hot day as we had.
Yeah.
It leads to all sorts of issues. It's not only that some runner is stranded somewhere, but it can be that the runner needs more water, especially on the long legs that are later in the day, and your team car is not there when it's needed. And then suddenly a runner who might have banked on your support is running 6K without water and fuel. So some runners always carry backup, and that's no harm. Because it's just the back roads are quite tricky if you haven't done it. Once you get to South Wicklow, it's a bit of a maze, even with sat-nav. You know, it's we have many examples of team cars that got lost, you know, which is another thing entirely.
Renny, a lot of the guys on our own team, Running Coach Ireland, they were in touch with us over the weekend saying they had such a great day. And I know one or two of my guys were saying to me, listen, Owen, count me in for next year if you need me. I thought it was just a brilliant, brilliant day out. And for people that are maybe, you know, thinking about coming back next year stronger to run a good individual leg, to put in a really good team performance, Renny, how can you give us any tips about how you might train for something like this, as opposed to, you know, normally what we see in the trails, big solo ultras or whatever it might be. This is a very unique event. And any little tips on maybe how we might adjust our training for it?
For the ultra guys, which we had a few of, you know, they need to adjust their threshold training a little bit, because as they told us actually afterwards, you know, this is a bit of a blowout for them. running, even the 16, 18K that one of them ran is a lot shorter than when you've just run 168K, right? You know, it's a big difference. So they need to do a little bit more kind of, you know, threshold work and max repeats just around it, just to get a little bit of that back. Maybe a few, you know, we use, depends on how much time they have, because the relay for most people is not the A race, right? It still is a race that's just kind of there. So it's more of throwing in a little bit of, you know, this faster work essentially, and then making sure you do the recce, because that's required. So it means you have to actually run the route. Some people like to do a little tempo on it then, which is okay on parts of it, because then you kind of, you can knock out two things in one. If you come from the other side, which quite a lot of people do, and I don't know if they listen to this podcast, but a few road runners are always in the relay every year. And for them, the challenge is the opposite, right? A lot of them actually do really well because they're training for similar intensities already. So they just need to make sure that looking at the leg they have, they can handle the technical descents and that they have a bit of that climbing rhythm, you know. And again, you can do it just with a few recces is usually enough, because you can see what's there. And, you know, you can see that if you have issues with the technical terrain, like one of the runners told me that, you know, he felt that had been a problem, that if he had known that he would slow down as much as he did on the short technical terrain, he would probably have run a little bit harder over the top, you know, but he only realized on the day that it would affect him like that, you know. So that's the sort of thing. It's quite simple, really, to do it. And then the rest is with the captain, you know, make sure that you suit. You know, if you have an ultra runner, try and put them on a longer leg, because that's where they'll probably, they can use. We had an ultra runner in one of the teams on leg 7, and he ran one of the smartest races I've seen in a long time.
Okay.
He was caught by two runners, which usually puts a lot of people on stress, but he decided just go back. He didn't like the pace they were setting. He thought they were racing really aggressively. They were breathing really hard. So he, when I drove up in my car, I said, "Are you okay there?" And he said, "Yeah, yeah, tactical distance, Rennie." And I said, okay, you know, I'll leave it with you. So I drove off, and when we came to the finish, he had put 8 minutes into one of them. So,
oh my God, wow, fantastic performance. And you do need somebody important on that final leg, Rennie, as well, don't you? Especially if you're up the top end of the race. And I hope Julie won't mind me talking about Julie, who anchored our final leg. Julie McNamee, very, very experienced trail and mentor runner, you know, lots and lots of podiums over the last couple of years. And Julie actually made one or two mistakes on the course, didn't she? And she lost a couple of minutes, but was, some people might have just maybe folded and just, you know, thrown in the towel and just given up. Julie thankfully managed to rectify her mistakes, come back onto the course, and she just about held off three or four teams that were hunting her down. So maybe she panicked just a little bit. Who knows? She can tell us herself, maybe. But she managed to keep her cool, keep her composure, and finish the job out despite one or two mistakes. And that final leg is really key, isn't it?
There's a lot of discussions about the right approach with it. And it worked both ways, as you said, from the teams that I had a bit of an eye on the day. Because you say Julie probably lost 8 to 10 minutes. It is a tricky leg if you don't recce it regularly. You know, even when you recce it, it's just kind of, there's a few places where you can just end up down a farmyard. So she was lucky in a way that the team had a big lead. What teams do sometimes is they put a fast male runner on that leg. Although, you know, if you looked at it statistically, if you have men who are fast, like if you have a super fast woman, obviously, who is faster than the men you have, you know, there's no difference whether you put a man or a woman on leg 8. But generally speaking, you put your female runners on leg 3 and leg 8. Because it's considered that you can usually find male runners who are, you know, fast on average for the others. So that means the average time should statistically be better. But some teams gamble and they say, no, look, we like to have a fast finisher, even if we might throw a bit of time further out, because he can hunt down, he can see what he's hunting down.
Yeah. And
that actually worked against my home club, Glendalough, because we had quite a large lead on Kilcool AC, which is one of our local rivals. But their male runner put nearly 9 minutes into the female runner we had on that last leg and beat her by about 20, 30 seconds.
Oh, you know, okay.
So yeah, sure. I've seen that on a few occasions, you know, so it does give you that kind of opening, or it gives you that kind of finishing. It gives you an option, I suppose, at the very, very end. So it isn't clear cut. You know, it's not everything can be found in the numbers.
And just to give a shout out to the all women's team, Renee, as well, who are back again this year. I'm not too sure if it's the exact same team as previous years, where most teams I think would have six guys on the team, two women on the team. The team that came in 12th place overall, YBCV3, all women came a fantastic 12th in just over 9.5 hours. So kudos to them.
Yeah, there was two teams on the Trailblazing Lassies from She Summits, and a bit further down, then YBC. And YBC actually were a team that they had a bit of a mishap to deal with, and we used a soft spot in the rules to allow them to continue because one of their runners early on got injured in the warm up.
Oh,
And you are not usually allowed an on-the-day substitution. But Laura O'Driscoll, who's been on this podcast, she was registered for another leg and ended up running two. And so, but given they were not in contention for podium, the organization made a decision to that, since it was a registered runner who came in as on-the-day replacement, it will be allowed. And probably we'll rewrite the rules to figure out that scenario because it's something that happens very rarely. The reason they don't want last minute is they don't want teams to play around with it on the day. You know, suddenly you see, oh, they have this guy on that leg, we'll move. And that sort of thing, which would be very confusing.
And in all likelihood, if a runner gets injured in the warm-up and if an athlete therefore has to do two legs, they're not going to really get any competitive advantage because that person is going to be running two legs instead of one. So they're not going to really gain any minutes or seconds if they have to do two legs. If anything, they're going to be more tired over the two legs. Randy, I know you like to get into the statistics and the record books of the race as well. And just again, to give a shout out to East Cork with their triple crown and three wins out of six now for them over the last 6 years. So while they were maybe late to the party because the race has been going on since 2003, they've really dominated the last couple of years, haven't they? And again, just another shout out to the other two teams in the podium, Rathfarnham, who I think have been on the podium now for consistently probably 20 years, and alongside their great rivals, TT Racers, who were in the top three again, who have been very, very dominant, of course. And really, I'm not too sure if TT Racers and Rathfarnham shared the most amount of wins together at maybe six wins, is it between the two of them each?
I can actually check that really quickly for you here. But yeah, you're right. We have a lot of statistics coming up. And because I haven't finalized the results, we didn't want to go through too many here. But just while I have a quick look here to see what the club, yeah, Rathfarnham, as far as I can see, Rathfarnham, maybe this is an overall, they have four gold medals. And Trinity Track has two in this. I wonder, that sounds a bit low. I might have to come back to the listeners on that one because it could be.
Yeah, I think that might be from a couple of years ago, Rennie. I think the two of them could be very well joint on maybe five or six each. And yeah, we can confirm that one up. But definitely TT Racers, or not TT Racers, East Cork are hunting them down with their triple crown hat trick win. But maybe just to finish off, Rennie. So as we said, such a great race, such a great day for everybody. And it does leave us with some messages about the sport of trail running and how to race. Things like, keeping that discipline under pressure, a chance to run as a team and to leave maybe the individual ego behind for the day.
Yeah, as we said, there's many things you could learn from it, but the three I like is discipline under pressure. That means that you because it's you. It's not just everybody who done the relay will say there's a different type of pressure because you feel responsible not just for your own performance but for your whole team. And there is no, you don't get two chances. There's no way to make up any mistakes you make. So that means you have to be very, very focused while you run. You have to have a really good tactical intelligence, as we saw, because it's really easy to get into the wrong dynamic in terms of chasing down. And it's a good way in that way to you could say try for just one or two days a year. We take aside that kind of individual performance mentality that we have where the only thing that matters is our performance and no one else's. And so it's actually about me setting up the team. And helping set up the team by making the right decisions and being ready and all of these things. And then part of this is you need to really read the route. So, you know, when you prepare and have seen it, everything actually matters. And that's something you can take into your regular racing, because if you start looking at the results, and I had people coming on to me after saying, Christ, I ran 1 or 2 kilometers extra. That would have been 10 minutes. We would comfortably have been ahead if I hadn't made this mistake, you know, this sort of thing. And, you know, I say, look, it happens. It happens. The mistakes are all over. But a lot of the time it comes down to 9, 20, 30 seconds. And if you think about it, if every single person reads the optimal line on their leg, you know, cuts the corners ideally, make sure you get in and out of the handover point really fast, that could easily add up to that. Just that little bit of, you know, attention to detail. So I think that's something you could take with you out of it. And it seems to, maybe as a final thing, it seems to reinvigorate a lot of people as well. You know, that they feel, okay, now I've been part of something bigger, especially if it's a team or a friendship group. You know, and then you can take that enthusiasm back to your individual pursuits until next time you have to race together. You know, our own club would look at it that way. It kind of tops up the team spirit, and then you're ready for the next thing, you know, which might be the road championship or the off-road championship, whatever is the next team event coming up. But I think it's important for groups that they get a chance to actually do something together, and it's not always just for yourself. And the fact that you have a club is just kind of a label that's there in a column to the right-hand side.
Yeah, and it's nice to everybody with their maybe team t-shirt on or with their club singlet on as well. It is nice nearly the not so much the cross-country element of it when everybody's has their club singlets on, but the team element of it is fantastic. And just as you were talking about, Rennie, like about running that correct line and looking for those small gains, they absolutely are so important, because at the end of it, after 107 kilometers, there was only 3.5 minutes between first and second after 7.5 hours of racing. And then if you look a little bit down the field, between fifth and ninth, there was 4 minutes between five teams from Running Coach Ireland, Kilcool AC, the Glendalough Carried, Mountain Swifts and DSD, only 4 minutes between fifth and ninth. So that's just one or two little changes or one or two little errors, and that could be the difference between a top five and a top 10. So preparation is key, and knowing those routes, absolutely. Rennie, a lovely insight to what went down on Saturday, and I'm already looking forward to next year. And just for anybody that's listening in that wants to learn or read more about it, do go on to the IMRA website and the forum section of the event page for Wicklow Way Relay over the next couple of days, because there's always some lovely riders that go on and talk about the day and give us great insights. David Power from Rathfarnham, who we had on the show a couple of years ago now, actually talking about Rathfarnham's performance 1 year. David's always very good at putting up a lovely review of the day. So yeah, lots of photographs, lots of reports. So looking forward to getting into them and the statistics over the next couple of days, Rennie. And Rennie, best of luck next weekend with Glendalough Lap of the Gap. You've got another race day to look forward to next Saturday, the 24th of May.
Yes, I'm going to get back to that now. So anyway, I hope people enjoyed this, and we'll get back to a coaching segment in 2 weeks' time.
Absolutely. Okay, Rennie, listen, have a great week, buddy. Talk soon.
All right. Talk to you all. Bye-bye.
Our special guest this week has just played a starring role in the triumphant victory of East Cork AC with their 3 in a row last Saturday at the Wicklow Way Relay. Let's hear all about it.
Nick, you're very welcome to the show. Nick O'Donoghue from East Cork AC, who were the first club from Munster to win the Wicklow Way Relay back in 2023. And Nick, you've just done the treble. Congratulations. I'm sure it was a great day for you on Saturday.
Yeah, thanks very much, Sean. Yeah, look, we're absolutely delighted to win it once, never mind to do the treble. So look, it was another absolutely fantastic outing. And last Saturday, look, and I just want to go on record there straight away. And I think with all these events and everything, just with the organisers and the volunteers, and no matter if it's a cross-country race, road race, IMRA race, it's just some amount of work goes on behind the scenes. So look, a huge thanks to Jason, Rene and Bill, and look, all the volunteers from all the clubs and the Inver community. Thanks very much, guys. Without you, the race doesn't happen.
Yeah, they do an incredible job, don't they, for going back 20 years nearly, if not more now, Nick. Nick, are you on in your capacity? Were you team captain on the day, Nick? Or are you just the one that was volunteered to come on the show? Well, you were requested by me as well. But were you team captain on the day?
I suppose I was. I suppose the usual team captain was missing. So I yeah. suppose I kind of got landed with the job, look, which is a bit of admin and a bit of panic in the background. But no, look, geez, I'm happy to take on the role and just try and rally the troops and make sure recce's are done and everything. And look, to absolutely no bother at all. I think we finally have the hang of the relay after a couple of years. So it seems to run fairly seamlessly now for us, thankfully.
Yeah. And Nick, just to share with the listeners, the caliber of athlete that you yourself are, and a specialist even in the Wicklow way. Now, normally, I think you've been on leg five in the past.
Leg six.
Leg six.
So this would be my fourth year being involved with East Cork and the Wicklow way. So the previous 3 years I've done leg six, and yeah, that's usually my leg. And I suppose I reluctantly came off it this year. But I suppose someone kind of had to fill in on leg seven. So I'm a fan of leg six. I think it's a bit harder than people let on. It kind of gets pushed down the pecking order a bit. But yeah, it's a good leg. But look, I was happy to jump in at seven this year. It was a kind of a toss up between myself and Kevin O'Brien. So we were both to do either. And like leg six had the extra 2 miles this year. So a bit of a slog, like leg seven as well.
Yeah. And you were the first athlete home in leg six this year as well. But Nick, just to go back maybe a couple of years, you know, the East Cork AC Athletics Club, it's such a fantastic club down in Cork. And I've been racing against you guys since, Jesus, 2006, 2007. Always up the top end of road races and especially cross country as well. You always have such great squads. Can you remember, Nick, where the idea was to come across the Wicklow those years ago and try and compete and come back year after year and push for the win? And the quote from football, to knock off their perch, so to speak, the TT Racers and Rathfarnham, who had been dominated for so long. Can you remember those early conversations, or were you even involved in them?
I'll be honest, no, I can't really remember, but I suppose it probably would have come back to, I suppose, the team element aspect of it. Look, as you kind of pointed out there, like East Cork, like it's a very small club. I think we've only about 30, 35 members or something, and that's probably at its peak now, the amount of members. But particularly the cross country, the team element and trying to get teams out in, you know, county senior, county masters, novice, intermediate, all the way up Munsters and onto national level as well. It's just really, really important for the club, particularly with the cross country. So look, maybe it was Tim or something, I suppose, when he was doing a bit of IMRA races and stuff back in the day, said, look, lads, we should have a crack off this Wicklow way. It's quite challenging just to get eight fellas to kind of commit to it and to kind of recce and have a crack off it. So it just kind of falls into that team aspect, really. And look, to be honest, it's probably the highlight race of the year in terms of, oh my God, we've been nearly blue in the face talking about it the weeks and the months leading up to it. And oh my God, we all just absolutely love it. So look, it's a fantastic race. It's a privilege to be a part of it.
Yeah. And of course, then he's got the first win, I think, was it in 2023, then 2024. Yeah. And you were going for the hat trick there this year. Nick, the team selection this year, did the team pick itself, or was there a bit of a selection process? Who was on form? You know, you've got some great caliber athletes on the team, the likes of Fiona Santry, who was on leg three, who's a national masters cross country champion. So maybe talk to me about how the team was selected. Did people volunteer? Did you just have to race it off to see who would make the team? How did that go down?
Yeah, I suppose a grueling selection process of, look, to be honest, it's kind of just thrown out there who's showing interest in it and who wants to do it. And it's basically picked off that, like, I suppose the commitment to do it is the big thing. And if I can go, I suppose the first 2 years that we did it, we kind of made a mess of it in terms of, I suppose, not appreciating the work that has to go in before the race the recce being the big thing. So there's kind of like the main thing of being able to do the race is, are you able to go and do a recce? And if you're not, then look, you kind of have to kind of step away and you can't be on the team. So look, everyone that commits to it has to do the recce. And it's a big commitment because you need to travel up from Cork beforehand. You know, organize to get from the start of a leg, or sorry, from the end of your leg back to the start. You either have to run it back to the car or, you know, whatever you want to do. But it's basically who shows interest and who can do the recce. Yeah, and look, there's some really, really like good runners, and they're like particularly this year, and it was the second year doing it, Tony Forrestal. Like he's a fair bit of pedigree there, the last couple of years in IMRA races. You know, last year Mount Leinster, I think he's Karen Toole the last 2 years, Galty Moore. So he's kind of good caliber to have and good pedigree. The rest of us would be kind of solid. Yeah, Fiona's very good. She actually hasn't raced in, I'd say, over 2 years. So that was her first kind of attempt back at a race. And she definitely didn't disappoint.
She came first on leg three in 34 minutes, and she came in ahead of our Olympic athlete, Katrina Jennings. So to come in 2.5 minutes ahead of Katrina, Fiona, she's back in form. Was she out injured, Nick?
I suppose she kind of a long-term kind of hamstring injury, and in between having two kids and things. And
okay.
She's kind of slowly getting back now, so I think she's probably ahead of where she thinks she is. So that was a nice kind of pressure. Well, I won't say pressure free race to come back to, but in a nice kind of something just to dip the toe into to see where she's at. So no, she was absolutely delighted. She ran really, really well. To be fair for her, yeah.
Well, that's the thing about the mountains, isn't it? Like, if you are coming back from an injury or a bit of time off, the mountains can be a lovely place to start, where you're not looking at kilometre splits or mile splits. You know, it's you against the mountain. And it's a lovely way of avoiding injuries as well, just because of the different load, the different impact as well. So good for Fiona that she was able to come back with a big performance there for you.
Absolutely.
And so yep. it was after Graham on leg one, Graham Swords, Tony put in a big 5 minutes gap ahead of TT Racers. And then Fiona came in 2.5 minutes ahead of Katrina. So after leg three, yous were really flying, I think. I think yous were probably in first by a good gap at that stage.
I think we, whatever way it played out, now I know the times with the way the tracker pings, it was actually about, I'd say, come leg four, the end of it. I think we had about 3.5 minutes, and that went back down to 2.5, about two and a half minutes after leg six. So it was fairly tight. Like, you know, like the thing with this is like, it's literally one wrong turn or an ankle twist or something. And it can quickly change. Like, so I suppose the unknown this year was then leg seven. So like leg seven being the kind of distance that it is. And my God, the heat was incredible at that time of day. It was like, sure, anything can happen in that leg. So like a lead could go out the window there or else it can be increased. So it was a lot closer than it actually looked like. And, you know, when you could say kind of 3 minutes over 7.5 hours of racing on that terrain and those conditions, it's a lot closer than that time gap, you know, kind of lets on, you know.
Yeah. You had Donald Tinnan on
Giltinan,
like four. Giltinan, yeah. Matt Horgan five, Kevin O'Brien on six before you came in yourself. Talk to me about the caliber of those lads. All look good lads again. They were second, third, and second on their individual legs, keeping very, very close to TT Racers. So a good bunch of guys.
Yeah, look, I suppose the way we kind of classify ourselves, like there's no superstars there, but we're all kind of solid. So like, you know, like even Donal on leg four, like doesn't really have, like the leg four is shorter, but that means you kind of have to put in a bigger effort to kind of keep up the pace. So like, that's a difficult leg in itself. And again, leg five with Matt, like you have a significant couple of mile climb out of Glendalough. And you need to be good on the downhill all the way back into Glenmalure. So he's kind of suited to that. Kevin, like on leg six, you could throw him into anything. He's big into, I suppose, as he's gone on, the age he's at now, he's kind of not doing as much running as he used to, but he's big into adventure racing. He's the beast on this, the 24-hour race this Friday. So look, he's an endurance fella. He'll run away all day long for you at a certain pace. So look, everyone's solid. And I think you need a solid team that's recce'd the leg. Like, we've certainly learned from the first year or two. you just have to recce the leg. And like even Graham on leg one, Graham is unbelievably reliable, solid. He'll be there on time. He won't get last, and he'll run between 60 and 62 minutes on leg one. So that's what you need, solid people. Like,
yeah. Before we get to your leg, Nick, leg seven, talk to me about the recces. Did you just come together in packs of twos or threes, or were people coming on their own up the Wicklow to do the recces? I'm sure there's a bit of maybe fun, a bit of camaraderie getting the recces done over the last few weeks.
Yeah, no, to be honest, don't, like, you don't really need any excuse. Well, it's a great excuse to get up on the trails up in Wicklow. It was kind of split up, I suppose. People kind of, like, I fell in with Matt there. I dropped Matt in Glendalough on the Monday before the race, and left the car in Glenmalure, and I jumped on the mountain bike from Glenmalure to the end of leg seven. So that was a lovely kind of spin on the mountain bike, just taking in the two legs. And I know the other guys kind of just jumped up during the week, and one or two did it just the day before on the Friday, the evening before. Yeah. So no, look, that's all part of it. And I think, you know, with the new teams, I think, you know, DSD and Bell Park coming into it, which is brilliant to see new teams coming into it. I think that's kind of something they'll learn, you know, if they hadn't recced it properly or anything, just, you know, they'll pick up as they go, and they could be highly competitive next year onwards, you know.
Yeah, well, I think, in fairness, that's what happened in Bell Park this year, isn't it? I think they went a couple of kilometres long on, was it leg five or leg six?
I think what I heard from the guys afterwards, they were saying that the leg six diversion, which was a significant diversion, was like 2 miles and an extra 400 feet of climbing. They just went on the old trail when you cross over Military Road, the famous Military Road that caused controversy a few years ago. So, like, you learn all those things. And look, we made all those mistakes initially. So, look, they're going to be super competitive next year, hopefully. That's what you want. You want
competition. They'll be fighting to get on that podium. Absolutely. Yeah. Nick, onto your own leg. So, you know, you can tell us a bit more in detail about it. An hour, 23 minutes of battling. Nick, were you in the front? Were you leading for that leg? I presume you were being hunted down. And maybe what did it feel like over the leg? And tell us what it was like.
I suppose it's a strange feeling there when you're like, I'm kind of normally over in Glenmalure waiting around to start leg six, but down there at Iron Bridge, it's, oh my God, on Saturday it was like you were out far and somewhere you just wanted to kind of chill out on a chair and you know, drink a beer and stick your feet in the river there because it's so nice. But you're trying to get psyched up, warming up in the shade along the fire road there to get going. I think I was about... Kevin handed it over in about 2.5 minutes, I believe. No, I didn't know that at the time. So I suppose, like, it's such a long leg, it's a bit of an unknown. It's long, but it's actually quite runnable. It's definitely up to 8.5 miles. So I suppose the plan was to try and run it relatively okay up to there. And I don't know, on the recce, did I kind of psych myself out with the next couple of miles up through the glen and all the gates and everything because the pace dropped off significantly there. But no, I was happy with it. Look, normally on leg seven, a really good runner, like the top end runners are down low 80 or under. So I in my head, I just kind of need to be somewhere, you know, in between, you know, kind of 81 to 80, kind of 4 minutes I would have been very happy with beforehand. And then given the conditions with the heat, look, I was very happy with it. And like, if a fella comes up on your shoulder, like in the middle of a leg, you're going to absolutely bury yourself to try and stay with him or keep him in sight if he's a better runner than you. So
I had that
there just in case. But I suppose the guys gave me a time gap at 8 and I knew the gap was after increasing a bit. So maybe that affected me a bit more. Like, it kind of made me ease off a little bit. But look, I was very happy with the time overall for my first attempt at it. And
You're stepping into big shoes there on that leg seven as well. I think, is it Tim normally did that leg for you, isn't it? Tim O'Donoghue?
Yeah, look, and he'll know for mentioning him, but as you probably made attempts over the years to try and get him to do the interview afterwards.
He's always such a strong runner on that leg seven as well. Mm-hmm. And has often been, you know, the major difference between the first and second over the last couple of years. So to fill those shoes, Nick, so well, you must have been delighted.
To be honest, Tim is normally ballpark on a 75 minutes, which is just way ahead of the next person that might be 79, 80 minutes. And I think a few years ago he ran a 72 on it, which is honestly, I can't even comprehend it. So, like, yeah, look, again, different caliber of runner, different levels and all that, you know. So it's just, you kind of need to know where you're going to fit in with your own kind of level. And, you know, that kind of low to mid 80 is kind of where I'd be at. So, look, I'm very happy with it. Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, yeah. And listen, you won the leg outright. Yourself, Fiona, and Tony, I think, won your leg. So that's three wins from the team from an individual point of view. And of course, it all adds up to the victory that Tamsin Muldowney took home for you. Was that a tough choice to put Tasman on that last leg, Nick? Or did she select herself again? Because again, you got to have somebody that can handle the pressure on leg eight, especially the caliber of racers and McFarnham there with all the experience they have. How was Tamsin feeling going into it, do you know?
Probably very nervous, but like, I suppose she definitely after improving this year, and look, it's great to have someone like Tamsin on the team, because I suppose we're also all now at this stage. Like, it's good to have a bit of youth showing interest in something like this and coming onto the team. So she actually, I think, nearly ran 2 minutes faster than last year, which was, you know, a huge improvement. And I suppose she got handed over and she had the gap. But I think TT's right. I can't think of her name. Sorry, no, that was on it. But she's a really good runner. So there was a bit of pressure on her. All right. But no, she ran it really well. And like, just to improve from last year by so much was great to see, you know.
Yeah, brilliant. Did everybody get a chance to stay around and be at the finish line when Tamsin crossed the line? Or were people maybe on the way back home to Cork for family commitments or what have you? Were you all there?
I suppose the family commitments are kind of up with us, because everybody was there. But to be honest, it's the best part of the day. Like, and look, the gang down in Parkview, Housestone and Shillelagh they're absolutely brilliant. They put on a great show for us. So a massive thanks to them. But everybody was there, which was great. And like, the crack and the banter down there on the benches for the next couple of hours, there was just a massive crowd down there. Like, it was a really good buzz. Everyone seemed to hang around. Obviously, the weather helps, and the pints help, and the good food. So look, it was brilliant to have everyone there, and all the other teams, and just the mingling with the other teams as well. It's the best part of it, to be honest. Like, everyone's so sound. Like, it's just great to chat to everyone and have to crack. Like,
yeah, fantastic. And just a more general question, Nick, as well. You mentioned that the club is a very small club, maybe just over 30 members or 30 active athletes in it. But yet you have a habit of winning big titles, national cross-country titles, Wicklow Way now, 3 in a row. Where does that competitive edge come from, Nick? Do you have a head coach down there who installs that into you? Or does it just come from, you know, the likes of yourself and some of the key players in the club?
Look, I suppose over the years, I suppose there was one man like who started, like Liam O'Brien is the main guy, like, and he's the only guy really. And like, I suppose what he instills or like, the club is just no nonsense. Like, there's no, and I suppose the likes of Rene now might look at this and go, oh my God, what are they up to? But like, it's just so basic in terms of training. It's just, I suppose, commitment from really good fellas to get better. A small group of, like, we have a couple of guys who are really, really good over the years. You know, the likes of Tim and James McCarthy, Mike Carty, all these guys, and Paul Hartnett now this year, who actually got selected for the Ireland under-23s for the cross country.
Okay.
Frank O'Brien, Liam O'Brien's son. So there's some really, really good athletes there with a no-nonsense approach to training. I suppose it's just the consistency, doing it over and over again and getting the teams out there and just trying to be as competitive as you can. And that all comes from Liam. Like, he's absolutely unbelievable. Like, you know, he is the club. Like, so look, we're all very grateful for, I suppose, getting us all into running, and I suppose keeping us running as we get older.
Yeah, super. It sounds like Liam sets the standards. Then you have maybe three or four other key players that set the standards as well. Then everybody else then just rolls in behind it, and that leads to great team and squad success.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look, that's basically it. Like, look, I suppose like any club, there's a couple of standout guys, but because I said it's the solid guys there on the team, on the Wicklow Way relay, like that, you know, that you can slot into a team. And look, you mightn't be very good in terms of being able to get an individual result in a particular race or something occasionally, but not consistently. But you can slot into a team in a cross country race or something, and you can absolutely bury yourself for the team to get a good result, you know. So that's what the club is all about, really.
Brilliant, brilliant. But you took the win in 7 hours, 33 minutes and 18 seconds. TT Racers in second, 7 hours, 36 minutes, 52 seconds. And then my own club, Rathfarnham, in third place, which is great to see the guys there for nearly 20 odd years on the podium for the Rathfarnham boys. Nick, I presume you will be looking to come back strong next year as well and go for the four in a row. And I was actually just asking Rennie earlier on, who had the most wins? And I think it's tied, is it, between Rathfarnham and TT Racers? We need to just double check that now in the old history books. But I think they might be tied. But certainly you boys are coming up strong.
Yeah, look, I don't know, to be honest, who's ahead with the wins. But like, I suppose, look, it doesn't really matter once there's competition there every year. And like, hopefully, I know there's talks about trying to increase the amount of teams and everything, which is great. But there is logistical problems with that and everything. But like DSD there now, Bell Park, I know we're at Farnham. I was reading Dave Powers' report this morning and he's just calling out the guys are getting older and stuff. So look, hopefully they start getting a couple of younger gang in there. And look, TT are all is going to be competitive with being able to pick the athletes that they can pick, you know. So yeah, look, we'll definitely be back. Which is I'm looking forward to it already, to be honest. So look, yeah, we absolutely love it. So we'll definitely be back.
Brilliant, Nick. But listen, fair play to you, Nick. And it's again a super performance from yourself. And I'm just double checking my stats here. Yeah. And that's your fourth win, Nick, I think, isn't it? On individual legs for the team, for the East Cork team.
I put that down to more. So like, it's like if you put really good runners from other clubs and then I certainly won't be up the top. So look, not like it's all about who you know, just trying to do your best, really, to be honest, and seeing where that gets you.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. Well, listen, Nick, tell me about the rest of the guys and yourself over the course of the summer. Nick, you all be breaking off now from team duties over the last week or two for the Wicklow Way Relay. Nick, will you be racing anything yourself at an individual level over the coming weeks and months?
Yeah, look, I suppose to try and jump into maybe a bit of track now, maybe Masters track coming up and things, and a couple of road races, and sure won't be long coming back around again until the old cross country season kicks off late August. I've the old appetite is wet now for Imber racing, so I might have a look at the calendar there now and try and jump into a bit of that, because it's just brilliant to jump into an Imber race like the Wicklow Way and not be bothered about times and talking about shoes and all this kind of stuff. So you know, it's just absolutely it's like cross country. It's just, you know, it's really good to be involved in it. So yeah, look, plenty of races coming up. So look, hopefully stay fit and healthy and drive on with it.
Brilliant, brilliant. Listen, Nick, congrats to yourself and all the team. And we wish Fiona continued success on her comeback as well. Great to see the calibre of a National Masters champion on the team there as well at the weekend. So listen, Nick, thanks a million for coming on. We might try and get Tim on another time if he ever gets himself back racing on the mountains.
Best luck with that.
And Nick, thanks a million and congratulations to yourself and all the guys again. A great three in a row for the East Cork gang. Well done.
Perfect. And thanks very much for all the work you do on with the podcast. It's absolutely fantastic.
A pleasure, mate. Talk soon, Nick.
Sure. All the best. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Well, there we have it, guys. That's a wrap for it this week. Thanks a million to Rennie for his contribution, as always, and to Nick for coming on. Enjoy the glory, guys, down in Cork. Well, well deserved. That's a wrap for it this week, everyone. Hope the recovery is going well post the Bear Away and post the Wicklow Way Relay. What a super weekend of Imber racing. Do pop over to Patreon if you get a chance, guys. And until the next time, everyone, get your running gear on. Let's go.